As WBUR launches a new effort to cover the intersection of brains and business in Boston called Bostonomics, we're spending this week examining Greater Boston traffic congestion and what can be done about it. The cause of traffic jams is more complicated than you might think. WBUR's Jack Lepiarz explains in this segment of our series on traffic called Driving Us Crazy.
Continue on Massachusetts to east for 9 miles.
Tony Loftus always sets the GPS for his morning commute from Acton to Cambridge. He leaves early, around 6:30, 6:45, and he's been doing it long enough that he knows where the usual backups are.
When we get over the crest of this hill, we're going to see how much traffic there is. There's a traffic rotary up by the Concord Prison. On the other side of the hill, we'll figure out whether or not we're going to get stuck in a slowdown or whether we're going to cruise right on through.
Loftus used to live in Somerville, but traded the short commute for more space for his family. Nowadays, it generally takes about 45 minutes to get to his communications job in Cambridge. He leaves earlier than he needs to, specifically to avoid backups, but today, it's raining, and rain means traffic.
So now we're going to run into that traffic I was telling you about.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, so we'll get stuck. There's a rotary up here, and we'll have to wait it out.
And so the traffic slows, down to 20 miles an hour, then 10, until finally, a complete stop.
This is a bad sign.
A bad sign, but actually far less than what Loftus expects. Within 5 minutes, traffic's back to moving near the speed limit, and except for a few other bottlenecks, that's where it stays for most of the ride. If you drive into work, you probably know exactly where the bottlenecks are. The Leverett Down Ramp in Boston, the 495 Mass Pike connection in Hopkinton, places where a lot of cars need to funnel through one road. That's the key finding of a 2012 MIT study. It says during rush hour, most roads in the Boston area are actually under capacity. Study author Marta Gonzalez says the roads that are over capacity are like a clogged artery.
So we have enough space in theory, but we are all filling up a few streets that get congested and give you the heart attack.
Gonzalez says that heart attack is usually on connective roads from which traffic spills out to the rest of the grid. But Gonzalez also looked at where the cars that fill up those roads come from. Her team found that if you cut 1% of drivers from the 15 Massachusetts communities that are the largest sources of commuters, you'd cut 18% of traffic for everyone else. But if you lowered the overall driving population by 1%, you'd get just a 3% reduction. That's because, as Gonzalez says, traffic is nonlinear.
Not everyone is using all the streets, and not all streets are used the same.
Sometimes bottlenecks are caused by lane drops. When an accident or construction decreases the roadway from two lanes to one, that's a recipe for a jam. But there's a way to beat that traffic, or at least make it less bad, and that's to merge at the last possible second. Ken Johnson's a traffic engineer at the Minnesota Department of Transportation. A few years ago, Minnesota aggressively encouraged drivers to merge late, or zipper merge.
Instead of everyone being in one single lane, they're actually split up between the two lanes on the approach. And when you do that, it ends up being closer to a 40% reduction in the overall length of the queue.
When you merge early, you waste a free lane. You force traffic to squeeze into one lane earlier than need be, and you make the line of stopped cars even longer. Furthermore, when there's a less used lane going 20 miles faster than the one next to it, that encourages what Johnson calls negative behaviors.
You've got queue jumping, where people are in the lane that's slow, and they see other people getting ahead, so they end up just doing a quick movement out, and there's a chance of a collision with that.
Two caveats here. First, zipper merging only works at slower speeds. Any other time, it's not safe. You should merge as soon as you can safely. Second, it doesn't cut down the time of the traffic jam by 40%. It cuts down the length. So instead of a 5-mile backup, you'd have a 3-mile backup. But that can still cut down travel times for others, say those who want to exit the highway before the lane merge. But what about those phantom traffic jams? No lane drop, no bottleneck, traffic just suddenly and inexplicably stops and then starts moving again. That's called a traffic shockwave. And here's the frustrating part. It can be caused by one person tapping the brakes. Here's Neil Boudreau, a traffic engineer with the Massachusetts Department of Transportation.
All it takes is one quick step on the brake,
and then the next person, the next person, and it just kind of filters back, and as it basically goes upstream.
One driver taps the brakes, the next person brakes for 1 second, the next person brakes for 2 seconds, and on it goes until traffic comes to a complete standstill.
Inattentiveness, lane-changing maneuvers, falling too closely are some of the key causes. Basically, there's a headway. You know, you should have so much room between the car in front of you.
This happens even when there are zero obstructions. In 2008, researchers at Nagoya University in Japan set up a track and had people drive in a circle. In just a few minutes, cars were stuck together in an endless loop of bumper-to-bumper traffic. The solution, Boudreau says, is to leave enough space between you and the car in front of you. Let the empty space in front of you absorb the shockwave. In this case, he says, aggressive drivers can actually cause more traffic. But as for what to do about that, Boudreau is unsure. The state's planning a pilot program like what Minnesota did to encourage zipper merging, but he's unsure whether a simple PSA campaign will yield tangible benefits when it comes to not driving aggressively.
I wish there was a nice, pill we could give folks. Aside from the future of transportation, if we ever get to the connected vehicle and having the vehicles maintain a headway.
Still, Boudreau admits that just making drivers more polite won't solve the problem of traffic. To do that, you need to get cars off the roads. And that's not happening anytime soon for Tony Loftus, who used to take the commuter rail, but went back to the car amid the massive MBTA delays of the winter of 2015. On this day, he pulls into his Cambridge office just before 8 a.m., about an hour after leaving the house, and not bad by his estimation. But Loftus has long since taken a Zen approach to driving. He says he enjoys it.
So what I like about commuting is that there's a real divide between where I work and being home. And then it's also in a car by yourself. It's the only time that I really have a fair amount of personal time. When you're by yourself, you control your own environment, which is really the thing you don't get to do when you're on the T.
It's for that reason that Loftus gets up earlier than he needs to battle traffic into the Boston area every day. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Jack Lepiarz.
We've heard from many listeners about how you'd like to see traffic improved. On the WBUR Facebook page, Mark Honzer offered this suggestion, quote, fix and resynchronize the traffic lights. A light that's red for 5 minutes and green for 5 seconds is a huge part of the problem. To join the Driving Us Crazy conversation, go to our website, WBUR.org, where you'll also find a video showing us how traffic jams form on their own. You'll see the Driving Us Crazy section right on top of the website. Next hour on Morning Edition, a look at what policymakers can and can't do about traffic.